This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The power of friendship cuts through time. It cuts through distance. The kind of friendship where even if you haven't seen each other for a long stretch of time, you sit down and you pick right up as if no time had passed. The kind of friendship that rides through life's ups and downs. That's the friendship story told by Michigan writer Marty Jo Link in her latest book, The Drummond Girls, a story of fierce friendship beyond time and chance. We last talked with Marty about her memoir, Bootstrapper, which won a Michigan Notable Book Award, as well as the Great Lakes Great Reads Booksellers Choice Award. Marty Jo Link joins us now from the studios of Interlochen Public Radio. So good to have you back on Stateside, Marty.
Hi, Cynthia. It's great to be here.
You and your seven lady friends, girlfriends call themselves the Drummond Girls because?
Oh, well, I think the island itself has kind of defined our friendship. We're able to put everything, you know, every responsibility, every to-do list, every carpool. The only time we can put all that behind us is once a year when we go up to Drummond Island for 3 precious days.
Just the ultimate, if you want to call it a chick trip, the girls get away, but the Drummond Girls hitting Drummond Island once a year. And you tell us in your book that you and your seven friends that you ever became friends is miraculous. Why is that?
It truly is because we're all so different. You know, I say in the book we have Republicans and Democrats, but also the none of your damn business party people. We have married, divorced, never married, always single, people who barely graduated high school, and then others that have master's degrees. So we're very different, but we all have our one thing in common really would be the tavern in northern Michigan where we met. We either worked there or were customers there, or in the case of one of the women, she's married to the owner. So we have that place in common, and that really is what brought us together. But we're so different.
It really comes out in delicious ways as you read The Drummond Girls. And you start your book with that first trip that you ever took to Drummond Island with Andrea, Jill, and Linda. They invited you to come along that annual weekend trip they'd been taking. And there you were. You're married, the mother of small, demanding kids, and a husband who didn't think you should go in it. Struck me it would have been so easy for you to give into that voice that said, well, I should stay and be on duty with the diapers and not go. Why didn't you give into that voice?
Oh, and thank goodness I didn't, because I'm certain that that voice was in my mind. And I came close to saying, it's not a good time. I'm too busy. My family needs me. But then there was another part of me saying, it's only for 3 days. It will be good for them to see that they can function on their own. And selfishly, I earned this. And I'm pretty sure that last thought is what got me inside that car on my way over the bridge and through the UP and then onto the car ferry.
And then once on Drummond Island, what kinds of things happen when the girls get together for their Drummond weekend?
Well, we started out saying, you know, we need to go to the North Woods, which is kind of a local watering hole that everybody visits. It's very distinctive and old time, and it has that complete northern Michigan feel. So we had to go there and toast our arrival. And in my mind at the time, I was so excited to have been invited along because I didn't have very many women friends at the time, that I hadn't thought to ask, where are we going to stay? What are we going to do? I didn't want to seem like that new person that is annoying, you know, the one that you wish, oh, why didn't we leave her home?
That person.
I did not want to be that person. And so I hadn't asked anything. And it was only later, after we left the Northwoods, that I realized we weren't staying in a cozy log cabin and we weren't staying in some beautiful lakeside hotel. We were staying in campers parked on a pad of gravel at a fishing camp.
Not exactly that spa getaway that sometimes women might dream about.
No, but you know, in remembering it now, that was yet another very distinctive thing that brought us together. You know, we could all commiserate about the trailers, and yet at the time we were waitresses. We couldn't afford anything nicer, really, than that or more expensive than that. And so they turned out to be just perfect. And they even felt kind of homey after spending 2 nights there.
It was like a funky little incubator for friendship.
True. Very true. Yes, very true.
I know in my life I've had the blessing of a good group of women friends. But I came to them later in life, and I know I was leery of having close female friends probably in my 20s because I'd gotten burned in high school by what later got known as mean girls. And then I read your book and turned the page and discover you two had a very soul-crushing moment at the hands of high school mean girls. Did you build in that wariness about other women as well?
I think so. I think that had a lasting effect on me through college, even what happened in high school. I was publicly rejected by a group, and I was so just devastated by that, that after that, I was very protective of giving my allegiance to anyone, of joining anything. I mean, I wasn't really a joiner anyway, and so that affected me even more. And so I was pretty guarded when it came to being close with other women. Women can be mean to each other, and I didn't want to put myself in a situation where I was available for that again.
And somehow these were the right group of women, as you say, also very, very different. And it started with the four, but then through the 20 years of trips to Drummond Island that we read about in your memoir, Marty, you brought in new people, and the group grew by four more. Was that always smooth, adding new personalities to the mix?
We did. We added four more people. Linda is our undisputed leader. She still works at PGOs. And it was her idea to bring in four more people because, and part of that was a financial decision because at the time, the only way we could afford to go was if all four people went because that was four people to help with gas, four people to split the expenses with. And so we were concerned that what if someone couldn't go some year? That would mean that could put our whole trip in jeopardy. And so it was Linda's brilliant idea. Well, let's invite four more women, and that way the trip will always transcend any one particular person's difficulties. And if somebody can't go for one year, they can always come back the following year, but the trip will still live on. So when I look back on that, it was just kind of applying economic principles to our girls' trip to the UP. So, and it really wasn't, we meshed pretty well right off the bat. Linda was a master at that.
She was the alchemist. I'm wondering if you'd read us an excerpt, and this is a point where you had just missed the backyard wedding of Jill, who was one of those original women who invited you on your first trip, and you're talking to her during the party and the bonfire after the I do's.
Yes, I'd love to read that. Thank you. "I'm so sorry we missed the ceremony," I told her, feeling my eyes sting. Perhaps they were already close to tears from the campfire smoke and the airbag gas, but the thought of Jill looking out at her guests just before she took her vows and not seeing a single one of her Drummond sisters made it impossible to hold them back. I could feel them rolling down my cheeks, and I didn't even try to wipe them away. "Oh, honey," Jill said, surprised. She leaned forward and put her small hands on both my knees, then cocked her head to the side. The golden flames of the bonfire reflected off her face, and she looked wise. "I knew you were here with me. I felt you. Don't you understand that? Anytime anything big happens for one of us, we're always going to be there. Even if we're not there, we're there, you know? We'd been there with each other in the best of times, the weddings, the adventures, the successes, and the babies. But we'd been there with each other in the hard times, too. Even when we weren't there, when we were late or far away or blissfully ignorant of what was going on in each other's lives, we were still there. Jill hadn't meant our friendship was perfect or that it gave us the power to float around each other invisible like ghosts or spirits. She meant our friendship gave us the ability to transcend time and distance. Because we knew each other so well and loved each other so much, we could insert ourselves and all of our love and hope into the moments we'd missed. The happiest ones, the hardest ones, it made no difference. In our hearts, we'd been there."
That is Marty Jo Link reading from her new memoir, The Drummond Girls, a story of fierce friendship beyond time and chance. Eight women who would take these yearly weekend trips to Drummond Island and really grow what you call a fierce friendship. And whose idea was it to turn all of these years of trips into this book, Marty?
Well, after Bootstrapper came out, some of the Drummond girls had been unaware of my struggles, and so they gave me a stern talking to on why I hadn't shared more of what was happening to me that year, because they would have helped. And I think they had some kind of private meeting without me, because we get together once a month for what we call Girls' Night, and we share a cocktail or a glass of wine at Linda's house, and they all said to me, "You need to write our story." And of course, as a writer, this is such rich material, but I had never really thought about writing about it because it wasn't necessarily material for a book. It was our friendship. And without their permission or their suggestion, I never would have written the story. But I was just, I'm humbled by how much they trust me to tell our tale.
And what do you think, is there a moral to your story as you look at this 20 years of trips and these deep, deep friendships? What do you think the lesson is for us?
Well, you know, we have a day that we celebrate mothers. We have a day for fathers. We have a day for graduates, Valentine's, veterans. We have formal celebrations for any number of relationships. And there is no such thing, or at least there's no such thing officially celebrated for friendships. And yet they are so crucial to our emotional well-being. And so if there is a message, I would just like to say, hold fast to your friends. Spend time with your friends and recognize how important those relationships are in your life.
You know, I wonder, Marty, why do you think it is that while we're going through school, as we were talking about earlier, girl world is so fraught with danger of saying the wrong thing, wearing the wrong thing, running afoul of the wrong queen bee. And then as we get older, our friendships with other women can be just like you describe in your book, like a good comfy sweatshirt you've worn for years, very constant and very comforting. And I wonder, why can't we save some psychic wounds and somehow figure out a way to help our daughters know how to be that way from the beginning?
I know. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we could skip all of that some of that early pain? But I think it comes with maturity. A lot of that mean girl stuff, I think, is born from insecurity. And the more we raise secure girls, the less that that's going to happen. So when we get to a place when, you know, we're raising our girls to be strong, to be secure, to make their own decisions, to feel good about themselves, then I think some of that will certainly lessen. Although we need our friends at different ages and for different reasons. But by the time we mature, and that's the time when those are the relationships that have lasted. You know, our children grow up, some of our marriages end, our parents die, but it is the relationship with our friends that sometimes can last for decades, and I've been lucky enough to experience that.
You know, one of the characters in your story that's a very vivid character is Drummond Island and the role that it played, and it was your incubator in a way. Would the friendship be the same, do you think, without the getaway factor and without Drummond Island as your incubator?
I don't think so. I think there is something, first of all, there's something about an island that makes you feel separate. And for the time that we spend up there, it's kind of a necessary feeling to feel separate. But also, it's just physically so beautiful and so wild still that it allowed us to connect maybe with the wild part that's still inside of us. Something that the Drummond girls that we talked about just recently amongst each other is, you know, you can share your problems with one of your kids, or you can share your problems with your spouse. And usually the first reaction is, well, listen to how bad my day was, or, well, I can solve that. Whereas when you share your problems with your girlfriends, it's more like, tell me all about it and I'll pour the wine. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no judgment at all with female friendships when they reach that level of closeness and maturity.
I'm wondering if you've got a sense of who was the Marty before you became a Drummond girl, before you started these yearly trips. How does she differ from the Marty today?
I think probably less emotionally whole, certainly less confident in her own ability and decision-making, and maybe less joyful, too, because these women have really taught me how to have fun.
That is true, and everybody has to read the book to figure out what happens to an errant cop who gets a little too fresh and cheeky
right.
with the Drummond girls. I'm not going any
yes.
further.
It's not a Tupperware party.
No, it's fun. And it is fierce. And the title refers to a fierce friendship. Marty, what do you think defines a fierce friendship?
I think fierce simply means we're very protective of each other. And we're tough about that. We won't entertain any kind of exterior criticism or threats or any way that would denigrate women or denigrate us as friends. And we're kind of outspoken about that, and unabashedly so.
So you've got something coming up this summer that is a first, because the boys have not been around for any of these trips, have they?
No, they haven't. They have not. They haven't been invited.
So what's happening this summer?
So for the first time ever, the girls are bringing their husbands along, and we're going up on August 8th. At 7 p.m., we will be at the Northwoods signing books, and the book signing is a fundraiser for the Drummond Island Ambulance Corps. And so that way, if any of the girls ever get in any difficulty up there, there will be a well-funded ambulance corps to take care of us.
That's a great, great idea. Marty Joling's new memoir is The Drummond Girls, a story of fierce friendship beyond time and chance. And it is a pretty good chance for us as readers to be invited into that special circle that meets every year on Drummond Island. It was a pleasure, as always, to talk with you, Marty. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Marty joined us from the studios of Interlochen Public Radio.